This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. You're listening to the best of Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas! You're locked into FUBAR Radio. I'm Harriet Rose, and I'm sorry to say I'm not here in person because I'm at home eating loads of turkey, which I hope you're doing as well. On today's show, we're giving you an extra special melee of some of our best interviews of all time. We're going to have a bit of George the Poet, MIA, Cakes to Killer, Ray, Vivo. We're going back to Vivo to chat to Aurora and Zara Larsson, plus a little chat with the lovely, lovely Mike Righteous. Now, we're off for another week. You won't see me next week, but I am back with a bang on the 12th of January to bring you all the fresh new bangers that have come out over the last couple of weeks. Have a lovely Christmas and enjoy this banger of an episode.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
You're locked into FUBAR Radio and I am joined by the one and only George the Poet. How is it going?
It's all good, man. How are you?
You've had an incredibly busy summer, haven't you?
Yeah.
You just told me you haven't even been on holiday.
No, I should have, man.
Yeah, you kind of look like you're regretting that now, but it's a good thing that you've been so busy.
Yeah. That's always a good thing.
So. And you've got your brand new single, which I think it's actually my favourite of all of your singles to date. What do you reckon?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it comes at the perfect time.
Mm.
I'm a little bit slightly older than GCSEs, but I remember that feeling that it gave you at the time when you think, is this going to be the end of my life? Is this going to change everything? And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It can help you either way, even if you fail, even if you pass. Mm. If you want something, you take it. And I really felt that in the track.
I'm glad you felt that, man. Like, so obviously, when you're young, your life is your life. So people might want to just try and make you feel like it's not that serious, but it's hard for you to feel. But when you know the stories of other people that actually survived, it's easier.
That's the thing, it's the survivors, it's that idea. But don't get me wrong, people should be scared a little bit, because that fear kind of helps you, I think, in life, in anything you do, job interview, exam, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I had a situation like that earlier today. I was under mad pressure, but I got the work done. And my
and now you feel amazing, because it's like that weird buzzy feeling that you're like, oh my God, thank God.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think it hits out at not just the teenagers, but also people in general. You could be 45 and wishing you'd done something you didn't do. You just go and do it, and then that's your life changed there. I feel like that's
part of the inspiration behind it was Brexit. Am I lying? No, I wrote it before Brexit. I had it in mind when I released it. I was like,
how can you not? The hideous.
You know, like, so I was like, listen, we have to move forward.
Yeah.
And we have to stay afloat. So, like, I reckon we could do it. Let's get on with it.
It's really exciting as an artist that you're dipping into these political situations and you're turning them into art, because I think a lot of young people and everybody generally in the world, people that are maybe too busy for politics, maybe not interested, or you know, doing it through music can open it up in such a different way that people kind of connect. Is that what your goal is? You know, because obviously you've got a keen interest in politics. Is that something that you're looking to do?
I mean, like, I'm pursuing this path as opposed to being in politics. When I was in uni, I thought I was going to go into politics. So while I am in this path, I need to satisfy that urge within me to affect the democratic process, which is what my new tour is based on. Like, I've got a model of engagement, which is like, if I talk about something, we are going to do something about it, which is how it all comes together. And that's what I want to do with my
The Search Party.
That's right. That's what the Search Party is about.
Yeah.
We search for the answers together.
I feel like also maybe there's still a chance for you to go into politics later down the line. You never know.
Yeah,
you might retire from music and become the next Prime Minister.
Potentially still.
I would feel pretty comfortable if you became Prime Minister, I'm not going to lie.
All right, well, I'm going to hold you to that. Don't let me down at the
No,
time.
I'm not letting you down now.
I might run independently. I don't want everyone to laugh and be like, you actually believe us.
I'll be your aide or whatever that they have.
I'll take that.
I'll be the worst aide ever, because I know.
No, it's cool. We've got a pen. I'll get that in writing after the interview. After the interview.
I'm going to make you sign that at the end. No, it's really exciting to sort of be part of that movement within sort of young people as well. You're inspiring people. Do your fans say that to you a lot?
Yeah, they say that a lot. And obviously, we are at a time where we're being forced to have an opinion on a lot of stuff. The minute I got into uni, you know, like, education fees were tripled. and we had protests. There's not protests at university ever, or there probably is. But that was the first time, that was my first experience of a protest in an education setting. Yeah. Because we're being forced to have an opinion on things that are affecting us right now. My friend's a doctor. They're going on strike in a couple of days. You know, like, he just became a doctor and this is the world that he's entered because, you know, we are the generation that dealt with the financial crash and we're looking at a lot of consequences. Yeah, man. So we better be awake.
So what's coming next? What's the next political sort of fuel for your fire? Like, what? I feel like I want to know what the next...
What I'm trying to do is get people to think about sustainable development. Obviously, that's just about the survival of our planet. There are certain things that we're doing, that we're used to doing, that we don't actually think about as life-threatening.
Yeah.
For example, gender inequality. That's a life-threatening issue. Mm-hmm. If we don't understand the, you know, like... The value of a female life and how that can be expanded and how any oppression of that is an oppression of the world in general and our sustenance, then we're going crazy. Likewise, water shortage. We're heading to a situation in 2050 when half of global grain might not be here. So a billion people won't have access to basic things, you know. And if we ain't thinking about that, we're just going to sleepwalk into that situation. But luckily, you know, I got a microphone.
And it's really important that you keep talking that stuff on that microphone as well. Obviously. And I'm loving your videos. I always love your videos. They're always a bit exciting, doing something interesting. Tell me, is there a video coming for What Do You Reckon?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do we have any sneaky tidbits of what might happen, what the theme of the video might be?
No.
Not allowed?
No.
Not even maybe what colour your jumper is going to be that you wear?
No.
It's not going to be yellow, no?
Yes or no, and it's no.
Maybe, nothing, no. Nothing. Can't drag anything out. Well, we're really excited for that. Now let's talk a bit about tour.
Yes, let's do that.
Headline tour coming up.
Yeah, man.
You're saying it's going to be different. Search Party Tour is going to change a bit for you. Tell me what is going to happen on this tour.
So for me, it's the next step. I've done music and poetry, and everyone's familiar with that, but I've never really got my audience to prove what I'm saying and affect society, and that's what we're going to be. As long as you're in the audience, as long as you've bought a ticket, you are going to be part of a movement that follows on after the show. So obviously, in all my poetry, all my work, I talk about something, and in this tour, I'm passing the mic to the audience. I'm like, okay, like, you know, like we play games. It's like, yeah. What do you think of this issue that I've spoken about? And after the show, through an app that I'm creating, you're going to have the opportunity to engage with all of these different individuals and organizations and activities in society that are doing something about the issues I'm talking about.
That's so exciting. No one's done anything like that before, not at least in my experience. I haven't seen anything like that.
I think it could work.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen the mic passed, but it doesn't sound like it's going to have as good a reaction as what your mic passing might have.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
I think it's good as well because your fans will have, or at least are developing a keen interest in doing that and having their say.
100%.
Which is actually kind of the only upside of all the negative, horrible things that are happening at the moment is that people are getting involved and doing something about it, especially young people.
We're getting politicised. That's right.
Would you agree, like, are your friends the same, like, you know, your friends from back when you were 5 to your friends that you've met recently, like, are they interested in politics as much as you?
There's a range, like, not everyone around me is actually interested in politics, but we can't help but talk about what's happening to
us. That's the important thing,
isn't
it?
That's all it is, yeah, Search Party.
So, Search Party's coming up. Do you still get nervous when you perform, especially now you're doing something completely different and you're taking on a new challenge with this tour? Do you still get nervous?
Yeah, I get mad nervous. So nervous, like, all the time. But that's what keeps me alive. That's what keeps me going.
And what ritual do you have to kind of chill the nerves before you go on stage?
Push-ups.
Push-ups?
I just do, like, mad push-ups.
I can't even do a push-up, let alone do push-ups before I go on stage. I mean, not that I go on stage, but that is pretty impressive.
No, it's not impressive. It's like OCD. I have to do it.
Do you do it, like, are you on your own in a room or is there loads of people with you?
I do weird things, like I find an empty corridor. Like, and I'm just weird. But, and someone, I can hear someone coming, I'm just get up.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, and then you're just casually leaning against the wall. Amazing.
Push-ups? No push-ups here.
I really want to catch you pushing up at some point before a gig. That would be sick. Well, I'm definitely going to be coming down to the London one, and going all across the country to all the main spots, Manchester, okay. Bristol, so exciting.
Glasgow, Birmingham, we're going to be...
My hometown. Well, just by. I'm from very near Birmingham, so... Okay. And it's a good crowd there, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I love Birmingham every time, man. Can't wait to see everyone.
It's going to be a big, exciting tour for you. I feel it in my bones.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Like even to just go and watch it, it's going to be that buzzy sort of exciting feeling. You know.
It's the start of something still.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Well, this is a bit of a random question now. What would you say, honestly, is the best thing about what you do?
The best thing?
For you, in your heart, like, what's the real best thing about being George the Poet?
You're trying to get a cheesy answer out of me.
No.
Okay, so, best thing about
saving being the world. World peace.
Being able to keep people company when they need it.
That is a very good answer. Had you planned that? No. I promise I hadn't told him before now that I was going to ask him that.
Yeah. When you record something, people can access it whenever they want. You don't have to physically be with them. And sometimes some, you know, forms of depression or mental illness can mean that no matter how many people are around you, you feel lonely unless you get the right kind of engagement, which people tell me they do from my work.
That is so amazing that people tell you that as well.
Yeah, man.
You must, like, have such a nice sort of relationship with your fans.
Everyone says their fans are the best because it's, like, you know, a way to make people happy. But I never say this, but my fans are the best. Like, I've never felt put off or, like, imposed upon. Everyone comes up to me and has a very respectful, loving conversation. So big up all of my listeners, man.
I'm one of those, so I'm probably not as nice as all of them, but
this has been a respectful, loving conversation, I would say.
On my show, I play a little game, and it's a little bit rude, but I'll see. I think you'll be good at it. It's called Desert Island Dicks, and in this game, I get you
to... Sorry, did you say Desert Island Dicks?
Yeah.
You don't just throw that in the conversation. Yeah. Like, oh, I've got
I know. Every time I say dick, everyone like freaks out or looks at me like I've said something else and they're not sure if I've said dick or not. No, I did say dick.
No, that was a dick.
In this game, I get you to pick a track that you would absolutely hate to be stuck with on a desert island. Mm. And that is your desert island dick. So, George the Poet, please, can you tell me what your desert island dick would be?
I'm blue, dab-a-dee-dab-a-dye. I would feel like I'm in Hunger Games.
I mean, that would be horrendous. Imagine if you also had the video as well on replay.
It's Hunger Games. Tell me that's not like a round in Hunger Games where you have to find the off button.
Well, yeah, I think that is the next Hunger Games film, actually. Finding the off button on a desert island for blue dabba-dee-dabba-dine. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us at Fubar Radio. George the Poet, it's been a massive pleasure. Please, can you introduce your brand new single?
All right, my name is George the Poet, and this is my brand new single, What Do You Reckon?
Way to make a rival sour, turn your luck around in the final hour. Ask Michael how I came all this way from a guy called Shower. People hate when you hold your head higher than the Eiffel Tower. You know why that is, isn't it? They're intimidated by your power. Certain people weren't good for me, so I cut them off the second that I knew it. Told myself that I'm gonna win big, gonna make them sorry. Reckon I could do it. Do you reckon I could do it? Do you reckon I could do it? Yo. When I was 15, I told my friend Josh I was gonna spit bars. Man just laughed. These times I was holding my craft, but I still felt daft. Same thing when I said it to my ex, back when I never had credit for a text. I was like, cool, never sent X. Logged off MSN Rex. Then I thought to myself, one day I'm gonna talk to the world, and I'm gonna make a fortune as well. I don't need your support and your help, cause I reckon I could do it. Chipmunk's 15 just like me, and I see his face in the stores in the shop, and I reckon I could do it. Would you reckon? Would you reckon? Cause really and truly I reckon I could do it. Would you reckon? Babe man said, would you reckon? I reckon I could do it. Would you reckon? Would you reckon? Yo, really and truly I reckon I could do it. Would you reckon? Yo, babe man said, this is real life on a tune. to the sixth form common room. Probably had my mind on abroad. Then I noticed a sign on a board. Oxbridge hopefuls write your name here. Suddenly my mind became clear. Never knew much about Oxford or Cambridge, but I suppose I would like a day there. Now, Anoop was my brethren. He wanted to do medicine, yeah, but the school weren't letting him. And I was in bottom set with him. Head of year tried to tell me the same. I will never forget how well he explained that Oxbridge wouldn't have wanted my ass. In front of the class, you reckon we could do it? People use to describe something they can't do. Sometimes they might want to be sadistic, give it the title of realistic and say it's near enough impossible, nigh impossible. They'd like you to think you're lying in hospital for defying obstacles and trying not to fall, but their impossible isn't my impossible.
So psychological.
There are no winners until someone's won it. You won't know what I'm capable of until I've done it. The other day I scored Big Six, we was in the bits, both with chicks. I used to go studio with Six, now he's known for the dopest mix. He's clocked my face, I've noticed his, we jumped out the whips, leaving behind two dumbfounded chicks. I'm proud of Six, especially the fact he comes round the bits. We're from a place where people don't make it, if you get a shot you better take it. But you gotta grind like crazy, never move lazy, watch for man, them man a hella fool gazy. People look at us and say, you man blue, but if I can do it, you can too. They say you can't do what they can't do, but I don't hear none of that. They aren't you man, I reckon you can do it.
To FUBAR Radio, and I am literally fangirling to the max because I've got MIA in the studio right now. Oh my god! Thank you so much for coming down to have a chat with us. Very exciting day today. AIM is out.
It's finally out.
It's finally out. You're eating a whisper. You're feeling good.
Yeah. Not going to be whispering. It's actually an aero.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was a whisper. Oh, that's changed. That's changed things for me.
No, but whispers it my second favourite.
That's your thing. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So aero's first, whisper second.
Yeah, when I need to shut the fuck up and I've said way too many things, I eat a whisper.
It's so weird because my first question was always going to be, what is your favourite chocolate?
Really?
No. But I wish it had been. I wish it had been. So you must feel pretty
chocolate
relieved.
Chocolate full stop is my favourite chocolate. Do you know what I mean? I don't care who
anything,
makes it, how it comes,
do.
If it's organic or not. I just don't care.
You just need to eat it.
Yeah.
So you must be pretty buzzing today, finally out. It's been coming for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were waiting a long time for it to be released? Or was this, you know, you were working on it up until this point?
It was originally going to come out in July,
yeah.
I think, and now it's September, which I like because it's 9/9, and if you add 2016, it makes 9.
Oh, that yeah. I didn't even get that. That is so sick.
9/9/9. Call the emergency. AIM is out. Go get it. Fire engine.
Whoop,
cool
whoop,
me
whoop,
down.
Whoop,
cool me down.
Whoop, whoop. It's the sound of the police. MIA's album is out. Yeah, it must have been a bit of a relief coming out then. If it's meant to be out in July, but you've obviously still been working on it since then, yeah? Since July to now, have you still been... Oh, you've literally let it go?
Yeah.
So
the only thing that got added from July to now is Zane.
Yes. Oh, let's talk about Zane.
Everybody wants to talk about Zane, Zane.
Well, I reckon you brought it up first. Nah, I probably brought it up first. Right?
I said something that was true because that is what we made in that last two months. But
was that sort of a thing that you have been interested in doing? If you wanted to work with Zayn for a while, were you interested in his sort of solo stuff? Or
no, last year I wrote a song for Zayn, but it didn't get used.
So you had hooked up already in a way? Like,
Yeah. But because it was not very good. And
I can't believe that.
Yeah. It was not very good. And then I just left it. And then he got on my album, you know.
Well, it's a sick track. It's nice to have that. Because it's not very, like, it's quite unexpected, to be honest. It's quite cool to pop something on the record that's completely not what people would expect, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know. There are things I had to deal with about myself on this record. And, like, personal stuff and professional things, political things. And I think working with Zayn was part of that process to be like, okay, you know, it's about bridges. And I'm just a bridge, of, you know, in the middle of many communities and societies and stuff. And it was nice bridging the gap between my world and his.
Yeah,
really.
Definitely. Yeah. It, for me, you're an incredibly inspirational, and for the world probably, an incredibly inspirational artist when it comes to putting across socio-political, cultural situations, not just in your music, but also in your videos, in your clothes, everything you wear. Because I feel like you look incredible today, number one, but you always integrate fashion within your what you do, it seems, from the outside perspective. I wanted to know how important it is for you to be putting across these messages to your fans and also to anyone listening to your music.
It's weird because I never really like separated things out, you know. I think when you're just kind of, oh look, there's a camera up there as well.
Catching you.
Yeah, I think everything is a part of when you're trying to express yourself and create an identity and express yourself and about your identity. All of these things are useful, do you know what I mean? So fashion definitely is. And also I went to St Martin's, so it's just ingrained into my DNA by now that it's like it can be political, can be whatever you want it to be, really. I have moments, you know, when things sort of come together, whether you're conscious about it or not, and then I have moments where you just, like, generally I just want to be comfortable, you know, and yeah, it's fun at the same time.
Does music make you comfortable? Does it pull you out of your comfort zone a lot of the time?
Well, making music's definitely comfortable. You know, it's nice to do that. But obviously when I come out of my cave and sometimes I get caught up in storms, yeah, then you're not really in music, you know. You're in a different space. And yeah, those kind of things is different, you know. When you do shows, like, you become the art, and you know, even though people want to hear the music and that's why they're there, your presentation of how you're, you know, stood there is important as much as the song. And that's weird for me still, really.
It must be so hard. I have no idea how you deal with that on a level. Like, it must be so hard to have every angle looked at, a bit like in this room with all the cameras, you know, like every angle is being analysed at the same time.
Yeah, it's weird because you, like, my thing wasn't being famous or being a pop star. Like, I came to it and sort of accidentally, and my thing was always trying to be behind the scenes and, you know, I wanted to go to film school so I could tell other people's stories, not my own, you know, and it just, the music sort of made me tell mine. And so then you become, you know, the fame is like sort of added as a byproduct to the music. So you have to deal with it. And it's really weird. And it's not like I have got a community where I could, like, call up and be like, hey, you know, MIA before me, like, how was it for you? And what do you think the pitfalls I should avoid, you know?
Yeah.
There's no one I can really call. And in Asian community way, or a sort of, you know, Sri Lankan community way, whatever it is, you know, it's a weird one for them, so they just ignore that bit. My friends just ignore that bit, and if I got problems with it, they're just like,
So you feel a bit like a Lone Ranger in a sense.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah.
Your fans have been going nuts on... I've been watching Twitter all night. They're so excited, like, literally...
They're excited.
Yeah, gagging for more even now. Like, they're...
It's not fair.
Like, yeah, you're like, give me a break!
17 songs. But, no, I do feel for them because they're so on me.
Yeah.
And by the time it got pushed to September and got released, 999, most of the songs have been released.
Yeah.
So the only one that they've never heard... Right, it's like Finally, maybe, is the only one that hasn't Survivor. Been released yet. And everything else... Survivor. And Survivor. Everything else has been released already, so they're just like, are you serious? Do you know what I mean? They're like, is this for real? But I needed to do that just to collect all my shit and put it onto one album because I just like... You know, I feel like I've trained them to be like, if you want music, you know it could come out of anywhere. You could be in the Tesco's queue and you know that I could just... put a music out right there in the queue, you know, just like random places you'll find me. But this album just needed to exist to collect all those bits together and put it out again.
And in such a way it works so incredibly well together, like everything formulates in such a way, and I feel like there's loads of messages coming out of there, but I wanted to ask what your message was from AIM, like what you wanted to put across from this album. It's a really broad, difficult question, I understand.
It's the one that I've been saying, which is the easiest way to explain, is like, because everyone's like, oh my God, MIA's gone soft. Like, what's happened? And, you know, people are sort of like, I don't want them to, like, take the piss out of the United colours of, like, Bennett and Ness of this album. But I grew up in a time where, you know, I was inspired by lots of things and I made 5 albums, and I just feel like if kids want the aggro side of me, it's there on my previous stuff, you know.
Yeah, you're still a bad girl.
Yeah, still, that's not going to go away, you know, but it's just coming to terms with things and trying to get balanced and trying to figure out, okay, this is, you know, my friends are like, well, you're just not going to be with anyone ever, or, you know, it's difficult for you to be normal because I've gone from so many extremes. And so, you know, it's difficult for people to understand, or one person to understand all of it, you know, because you're constantly sort of moving the boundaries of what things can be. Or how it's perceived, you know. So, like, my story isn't just like, oh, I used to be really poor and, you know, I came from a council flat and look at me now, I live in Beverly Hills. You know, and it's not just, oh, yeah, I was part of the Tamil struggle because I was, you know, coming from a political family in Sri Lanka who already were weird amongst other Tamil families, you know. And then to come from that and... then you become a pop star to talk about it, which is already weird for Tamils, you know. It's like, they're like, well, what are you going to do with music, you know, that people can't solve with guns on a real battlefield? And so I've had those things throughout my career. And finally, all of these things come together and you just have to, like, accept it. It's like, that's just what it is. It's that vast, and maybe one person can be that complicated, and it's not a negative thing, you know.
It's an exciting thing as a fan, as a big fan of yours. It's an exciting thing to experience your life through music, because it is ever changing. It is always going to be something else. You're letting something else out.
Yeah, I feel like I could have only happened once they invented Wikipedia. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so confusing. If I fucking existed before Wikipedia, it'd be over. Like, I never would have made it. It's as simple as that. You know, I owe my success to, like, the internet and Wikipedia especially, because you can be like, oh, where's Sri Lanka? What the fuck is a Tamil? Or, you know, where's St. Martin's and who went there before? You can just click on all these things because you just put the weirdest communities together. You know.
Yeah, and, totally. Social media is like...
Yeah, it's like a musical form of Wikipedia. That's what I am. That's my career.
When you first started, you were putting tracks on MySpace as well. And that was like a good... I mean, social media has been a huge part of your career. Mm. And you're really... What's exciting as an artist, for fans specifically, is you're really, like, on social media. You talk to your fans on Twitter and you use Periscope and all the other stuff. Is it for you important to connect directly with the fans in that way, or is it just a personal thing that you enjoy using social media?
Well, I don't know. It's like a blessing and a curse, you know, because for someone like me, social media is like super important because you're no longer at the hands of the media. And every day I wake up and I go, today is the day I'm going to delete all my social media. I have that thought every day.
Don't get me wrong,
I do. But then it just puts me back in the, you know, then what am I going to do? You know what I mean? So
it's scary nice to be off social media, but it's scary to be on it at the same time, right?
Yeah, it's like on the one hand, I'm just like, no, now I'm going to go and like move to a mountain and meditate. Yeah. I don't want social media. But on the other hand, it's like, no, look, I've learned all these things and it can actually be useful. It just gets interpreted wrong by the media sometimes.
Yeah.
So you do need direct access to your fans to be like, oh no, remember when they said that 6 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, now they're saying the opposite. And can we talk about this?
You can quote retweet that from 6 years ago and be excuse me.
Like, you can't, you know, it's like quite nice to have the history.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's so weird. All I had were battles and now they're taking the battles away from me.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on a minute. I got nothing to show for it but battles. So let's like... talk about those battles because they were important battles, you know. And if we've changed now, then it's interesting to look at it to be like, oh, you couldn't be a musician and say that 6 years ago, and now you can.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you've got your own like history to show that because nobody else did that.
No.
Yeah.
It's super like exciting for the fans as well to be able to like do the same. And also they always pick up on everything that's ever happened. I don't know how people know on social media, like 10 years ago this was said, 5 years ago this was said.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that either.
I feel like everybody is always screenshotting someone's tweets right now. Hmm. Like always. Talking of social media, you tweeted, my LP is my breakup LP with music. I'm hoping this means maybe not the end of music, just the end of albums. Is that right?
No, it was a breakup album with the musical soundtrack.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a breakup. Just tell
with
me.
Music on.
Just tell me it doesn't mean that you're going away. Just tell me it doesn't mean you're leaving us.
No, I think, you know, I had 5 albums to make with Interscope and... Janelle will tell you different. She's like, no, you're going to make some more. But, you know, I feel like I've done that. And now if I was going to make another album, I would like to make it in a different format or some other form. But I feel like, you know, if I was going to make music for my fans, then I would just make it and put it out.
Yeah.
Or I would... have to sign to not a label.
Yeah.
And you know, and I was thinking about that, trying to be, is it Chief Keef that just like signed to like a random person?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really interesting now where I could just, I feel like, you know, maybe I could go and like sign to Walker's Crisps or like, you know, like,
I mean, I want to sign to the Walker's Crisps right now. Like that would be sick.
Because I don't know how I benefit from being signed to like a label, you know.
A lot of music artists are doing it. A lot of artists are going, you know,
and it's weird. It's weird once like labels start having a political agenda, you know what I mean? And then you're just like, oh, that's so boring because you want music to be a place where it bypasses politics and it bypasses like governments and bypasses all this shit.
Yeah.
Like that was the whole point, you know, and it should be like the people's space.
Yeah.
But the career I've had, you know, it's been so up and down and it's not always the label's fault, but it's the times changed and, you know, if you're signing to certain labels, or certain corporations, it is political and it's not fair, you know, because I'm always caught up in these sort of ignorant kind of wheels of corporate decisions that, you know, could change depending on who's running it, you know. And I just don't want to be in that situation again. This is like a big statement right here because I haven't really talked about it like this. So, yeah, it's just what I've been thinking, really, you know. Yeah.
It's a huge statement. I want to almost not say anything for, like, 2 minutes now after that. Like,
yeah, you know.
But it's an exciting step to know that you want to take, you know, in a way. It's like, you know, you want something different.
I want something different. I want musicians to not be closely, you know, guarded with what they can and can't say. And
I heard you speaking about Rihanna when she tweeted Free Palestine and it was deleted, and that's a perfect example of...
Yeah, that is. And then when I talked about it, like, I had the shitstorm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really make it clear that that's why I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does then come down to actually affecting, you know, like... Yeah, Brianna said Free Palestine, and I made an observation to be like, oh, damn, she can't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
From England,
yeah.
You know, where you think you could say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And then it got turned against me, you know, when I said, yeah, musicians in America can't say what they want, you know, except for American things.
Yeah.
And it got turned against me, and I feel like that's interesting, but now I have the right to talk about it because it really happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened to me. And it's not like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about because I've been at the NFL, got sued for $16 million. You know, I've been at all these labels. I've lived in America. I've come from England. I come from Sri Lanka too, where I spent 10 years of my life. I lived through a revolution. You know, my people really got killed in 2009 when I was at the Oscars. I can say what the fuck I want at this point because I know it, you know, and there were real personal consequences to some of the things that I went through. And so that was just an observation I made. It's like, since all of that storm, we Brexited.
So now, God.
Now we're really in the backyard of America.
Yeah, it's awful.
It really matters, you know, having those conversations actually really matter. Like, if American icons can't be global and see themselves as global citizens as well, then we should have that conversation now.
Yeah. You know.
Base.
I'm a swagger man. Rolling in my swagger van. From the People's Republic of Swaggerstan. It grew bigger than a politician. Yeah, history's just a competition. Do you wanna sign my petition? It's for the people with dedication. Some people get off out of tight locations. Refugees learn about patience. Sometimes I have many visions. I don't even need a religion. I'm a new frontier, horizons. Yeah, sell this shit to the thousands. Even aliens see the presentation. Yeah, tune up the dial on the station. And think of me, sort of like Tarzan. And I'm singing this beat, salvation. On a phone. If you don't catch
you, then baby I'm gone. Send me your money and I'll send you my song. What you get is perfect, it took me lifelong. Lara Croft the stuff when it comes to my stuff. She's made up, I'm real, that's enough. Dinosaurs died out and I'm still strong. A little bit of fun, yeah, I don't see it wrong. But something so good, yeah, I've waited too long. I rate that button just to play this song. Whose world is this? The world is mine, so bring it on.
Watching FUBAR Radio, and I'm joined by producer duo Sticky Blood, not Sticky Bum Cracks, as they just told me a second ago. No. We're here to talk about Oh My Days featuring Frisco, your brand new single. So sick. I'm absolutely loving it. Love Boy Better Knows Frisco's on it. It's obviously going to be a massive banger. Tell us a bit about how it sort of came about. How did you guys work with Frisco, and how did you guys get on this one?
I'll take you half of the journey. And I'll let Jamie.
That's nice.
Jamie can take you the rest of the way.
That's so very sweet.
I'll be the conductor, you can be the driver. So this is how it's.
This is lovely.
You got your tickets, please.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. So we were in the studio working with Terry Walker.
Yeah.
Legendary soul singer, UK annoyance. and she. She just came up to our studio for a couple of days, like she does, and we were working, we were playing her some tracks, and she said, oh, you should get Frisco to come up. I'm a good friend of his. So she rang him, and I think he literally just got on a train.
Really?
That day. Was it that day?
Yeah, it was.
Pretty much that day, or the next morning. Came to Sheffield, we played him some stuff, he picked some stuff, he rapped on some stuff. And
it's
at this
as
point...
easy as that.
Well, kind of. But now I'm going to pass you over to the driver of this song.
Drive carefully.
Yeah. So the beat is one that existed for a while. It's something that we collaborated on with JK. Did I say that sentence right? Collaborated with JK on.
That's right.
JK. And I don't know. It was a beat that we came up with that everyone always liked, but it never found a home for about a year and a half. And then. I don't know, we played through some stuff. like Frisco vocaled a few things, wrote stuff for a few bits, but that's the one that like went all the way.
Yeah.
And then we even lived with that version for a while. We had that for a while, and then we were just listening back to through some of our stuff, like thinking what, I don't know, just exploring what we'd done, and we was like, oh yeah, we actually need to get this one out. And then we just made all that happen, went and shot the video ourselves, did it all, and that's it. And then it came out, and now you're here.
And now I'm here. And that's incredibly exciting. Not that I'm here.
Songs are like...
Not that me.
Songs are like dragons that need slaying.
Quote and a half? Yeah, Did you think of that before you came here?
No,
was that
I
just
didn't.
That
was just off top.
You can
off top.
Use that all the time now.
Like, I'm going to elaborate on that now by saying many bastards tried to slay that huge dragon.
Yeah.
But Frisco was the only bastard that could slay it.
Frisco, you clever bastard.
Clever bastard. Yeah, there you go.
What was it like working with... Because obviously you're both producers.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Jaike, another producer, on the same track? Did you feel like that was like the natural thing to happen, or did you deliberately go out and go, we want to work with, you know, more producers?
Well, he's a personal friend of mine anyway, who's doing his own thing, like, in the trap world, like, yeah. he's really doing that, and I've done stuff in that world with him, so the collaboration, like, I've collaborated with him loads of times anyway, like, so it was pretty natural, and it was just one of them things. We didn't think, oh, let's get him in and then try and get it to there. It was literally, let's get together and do some music. Mm-hmm. And that came about, and then it just, like, again, never found the home until the stars aligned. But yeah, it was just natural. It wasn't something we went looking for.
And in terms of, obviously, a lot of your tracks involve feature artists.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say would be Sticky Blood's, like, ideal feature artist? Who's the dream, like, dead or alive, that you could get on a track? Over to you.
Thank you. I will be realistic and not stupid about this.
You can be stupid. I'm stupid okay. all the time.
Oh, you're on the spot there. Dream.
Is it me?
Yeah, it's probably you.
Yeah, I thought it would be me.
Yeah.
God, that's so funny. I came here thinking
it's really weird.
Yeah.
Actually.
We're just in the same mind.
You are the one that asked that question.
Weird.
And you are the answer.
That is the world showing us something, isn't it?
That's the name of the track. You are the answer.
You are the answer. So off you go. Chorus.
You are the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah. That just worked.
Bastard.
Yeah, and send that over to us and yeah. we'll make that into the
okay,
chorus.
Okay, so just can we get the audio from that, guys,
yeah.
so we can send it?
Yeah,
wicked. Perfect. But other than me, if you could pick anybody else in the world, who would it be? Remember, they can be dead or alive. Either or.
This question makes me feel like you want me to say someone who's dead.
No, I want you to say someone who's alive now you said that.
All right. Elvis.
He might be dead. Ah, he might be alive.
See what I did there?
Very clever. Could have also said Paul McCartney, who might be dead
or
might be alive. I think Sting's alive.
His career is gone.
Oh, you heard it here first. Sticky Blood thinks Sting's dead. Not in a physical way.
Yeah, Mike.
But he did write a six. Well, Police were really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Police were.
They were awful now.
Sting, if you're watching.
But he did a
he
song
didn't mean
that
it.
Johnny Cash covered called I Hung My Head.
Yeah.
Instead of singing it, Johnny Cash just went, I hung my head.
That's yeah. got quite a lot of Johnny Cash's songs.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Yeah.
That's
I'll
the vibe.
I'll do a cover version. I hung my head.
There you go.
Sorry, are you a Johnny Cash impersonator on the side of Sticky Blood?
He does Elvis and...
Breakthrough.
Elvis and Johnny Cash.
Confused with a couple of agencies, but... Yeah, to
that's what he's growing his hair for.
Ooh.
I'm in the awkward
oh,
stage.
That was a really weird noise I just made. I apologise for that. Right, boys, back to Oh My Days. Obviously, the track's out now, available to download and
available.
Buy from
we had
iTunes.
Some issues, but it's back up.
And you can stream it. You can get it everywhere.
Stream it.
You've also released quite a few singles in 2016. It's been a busy yeah. year for you. But what is coming next? Are we getting... Is there another EP coming? Is there an album in the works? What's the plan for Sticky
Blood?
There
is an EP coming. There is an instrumental EP coming.
Ooh.
A grime instrumental EP.
I'm looking forward to that vibe.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting thing to be announcing because we're gonna do that.
Don't
more
say
regular.
That.
No,
I'm
fuck's sake, man.
You bastard.
It doesn't excite me as much. Well, in fact, yeah, it does.
You excited?
Heard it here first. Thought it wasn't excited.
It might not be exciting, but it is. No.
I know what you mean. I understand what you're saying.
We're song people, do you know what I mean? So to put beats out feels like we're not fully doing
our job.
Our job, yeah. But like, we know that it's a good thing to do. And yeah, we love doing that as well anyway, but...
And then after that, maybe would you guys consider working on an album?
Yeah, but I just feel like there's a few more hurdles to leap.
I think you're leaving it there.
Wise words.
I think you're leaving it. Stop there.
Wise words.
Look at that stare. It's a glare.
On that note of hurdles, no. I'm going to ask you a question completely separate to that, okay, that has nothing to do with hurdles. Okay. Live shows.
Yeah.
Is that on the cards for you guys?
No.
Not at all.
It could always be.
Because you DJ anyway, don't you?
We both DJ, yeah. But...
Not live shows.
We kind of do shows, but it's basically us DJing and people coming on and
sick.
Singing.
Well, that's basically live.
I know, but it's just...
I think it's the idea for what would make a cool live show.
If it came to you, then you'd go...
Yeah, like, we're not going to search around. We tried forcing it before. Like, we've had drum pads out. We've had live drums and keyboards, and it just felt like we were looking at each other thinking, do we really want to be just up and down country lugging this about?
Yeah.
For what? Like, it don't feel like it's the time to do that. And plus, we're like studio rats anyway, so like that's the more rats. Went with rats.
Jamie's a rat, okay? Jamie's
you
a studio.
Studio rats.
I'm a studio.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Hero
rats.
Studio rats.
Yeah, that's it. Well, cool. That's it. It's the new program.
No, I kind of really appreciate that.
Biker rats
that,
from,
you know,
Mars. Biker rats from the studio. From the studio.
From the studio to the rat.
Yeah.
I kind of really appreciate you guys actually being honest about that and saying, do you know what? We don't want to make something that we feel is going to be shit.
But that's the thing is, a lot of people are willing to do things because they think they should do them.
Yeah.
When actually, if they took a step back and saw what they were doing, they would say, that's shit.
Have you got any examples of people like that?
I've got loads. No, I haven't. I don't actually know any now.
No. No. We could, but we won't tell anyone.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it after.
We've probably done it. It's from experience, isn't it? Like, we've probably, in the studio, it might not have left the studio, but we might have been like, oh, this is a really good idea. Done it and been like, oh, what a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So surely other musicians are doing it and just lying about it.
And obviously, you're going into grime at a time that's grime is the rise of... Yeah.
Well, I think that's the verse to the chorus.
Time when grime...
Was the rise of grime.
Yeah.
Crime, dime, sime.
Sime?
It's not a word, Sam.
No, it's not.
Okay, so start again, Harriet. Sorry, too busy making rhymes and not asking questions. You've obviously, in the world of grime, while it's going up, it's getting massive, loads of important artists at the moment. Is there anyone in the grime world that you guys would recommend that our listeners get attached to, start listening to, that maybe they haven't heard about yet?
There's a strong scene in Sheffield. I hate the word scene. I hate that word. It's a bit like...
I think you seem like you hate the word scene. Are you in a scene?
Oh, up there. They're really trying.
Scene is in. Don't really like...
You're trying your absolute best, aren't you?
I'm trying. However, the scene...
There's a scene, same in London though, scene in London,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, but it's just a shit word,
yeah,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But there is something bubbling that is about to overboil. Overboil. It's not overboil.
We are coming out with some...
I don't think it's overboil.
Phrases today.
I think it's boil over.
Yeah, I think boil over sounds better.
Yeah, and makes more sense.
Overboil sounds like... it's going to be messed up, whereas boil
overboil is like, oh, don't overboil,
yeah,
it.
Like, yeah,
whoa,
yeah, yeah.
Whoa, everyone take notice, it's boiling or bubbling over.
Yeah, that's right, bubbling over. Bubbling there, you've got over. It. You've got it.
Bubbling
so what's
over?
Bubbling over?
I don't know. No.
It's artists in Sheffield that you think are bubbling over.
Yeah, there's everyone we work with.
Tell us some names.
L Diz.
Sick.
Not Elvis. L D I double Z.
Different person from Elvis, yeah?
A bit different from Elvis.
Slightly different.
But could be as big, you never know. You
sick.
Don't know what could happen.
Well, we'll make sure everyone checks them out.
Jamie? Yeah?
Just everyone. Just like...
Everyone in the world. You should check it out. You heard it here first.
I don't know. Every single person in the world. No.
No, but also from your back catalogue, the people you guys have worked with. And
yeah.
You know, the artists.
Eldiz has got a mixtape coming out. Smiley's got music coming out. Obviously, you all know about... Coco, I'm assuming, anyone who's thingy. But, yeah, there's more Shinobi, like, Mike, there's loads of them, all doing a lot of stuff right now, and we're just trying to keep that movement moving.
strong. Producer wise, Ethan Ryan, great producer from Sheffield.
Yeah, Sheffield seems like it's hot right now.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's bubbling over, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bubbling everywhere. bubbly. Yeah. Do you like, because obviously you were in the Arctic Monkeys. The Arctic Munchkins.
Yes.
Obviously, you were in the Arctic Munchkins.
Munchkins, yeah.
You're in the Arctic Monkeys. You've taken part in bands, Reverend the Makers, you're working with those guys. Is this life very vastly different, you know, making music in this realm? Is it much different from what you're used to?
Not really. Yeah and no. I mean, Jamie's from a band background as well, so like we were both like grew up, let's say, in practice rooms where we're like, right, we are four people, we're gonna learn this song, we're gonna play it. But now we sit in a studio looking at a computer playing things and going, oh, that sounds good, no, don't delete, rather than being in a room.
But it's still the same. You enjoy it. Do you enjoy it as much? Is there the same?
My favourite thing about being in bands and things was always studio time anyway, and crafting something from the ground up to become something that otherwise is just momentary. It becomes something that's there to listen to over and over again, and that was something that I was always like really into anyway, so I think it feels better to me. Like it's what I like about music.
Yeah, do you feel like you've just sort of progressed into this?
Yeah. And I think like we're not whippersnappers no more. Do you know what I mean? We're not going to sell tickets based on his
looks.
Like.
Guys, don't undersell yourselves.
We try to be modest.
I am the shit.
Listen, we're beautiful people.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't know why I'm bringing me into it. But
no, well, we are. Well, you've got a single coming out.
Yeah, with these guys. Yeah. It's going to be, I can't remember what it's called, but it's going to be bubbling over like you've never heard of bubbles.
Yeah.
Well, I'm absolutely loving the track, and I really want to keep listening. Also,
keep listening.
I'm going to
put it on YouTube and just let it cycle round and get them views right.
Oh, my days! That. I'll do that. Yeah, see what I did there. See what I did there.
Like a bot to do it. We'll even transfer you the money. Just keep it on the hush. Get us a bit more.
Or I could
royalties.
Just keep playing it on the radio. That would be good too, wouldn't
it? Yeah, of course. That's PRS.
We actually
you pay PRS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually listening to it today in my flat, and all my flatmates were like, what is this?
How many people do you live with?
Two.
Oh.
So that's all a of lot them. Of people.
Both of them.
Okay, fine. Both of them. You ruined it by like shattering the illusion.
But the thing is, you have to be realistic.
No. Yeah, but they both hadn't heard the track, and they both went, what is this? This is amazing. Yeah.
No, good. That's nice. Thank you. What are the names?
It's a straight up
Jack
banger.
Jack and Hillary.
Sam and James. Sham. They like it.
Sham.
We like it.
My name's Sham. My name's James.
Before we go,
Sam and James,
I think you might like my game. This is a game I play on my radio show on FUBAR Radio. This is called Desert Island Dicks.
Okay.
And in this game, I ask you guys.
Sounds painful.
Yes, and it's going to get really painful in a second for Sticky Blood, because I'm going to ask you to go to a desert island. I'm going to send you there.
All right.
And I'm going to leave you with one song that you're going to listen to for the rest of your life on this desert island. And I need it to be the worst possible song you can imagine being stuck there with.
Phil Collins in the Air Tonight.
Straight out of the park.
I've got a story about that.
Please.
I was once on a flight from Seattle to Japan, and I dared myself to only listen to that song.
You dared
on
yourself?
On a 14-hour flight. So if I want to listen to music, I had to listen to that song, no other song.
And you did that.
I didn't listen to it non-stop.
So you thought,
but I probably had a good 3 hours, 4 hours of that, just that song.
Phil Collins would be so proud of you.
Yeah.
Slash a bit scared, maybe.
But I'm not even a Phil Collins fan. That's what's funny about it.
I mean, who isn't a Phil Collins fan? How can you not be a Phil Collins fan?
Well, I'm not.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, thank you so much, boys, for coming to my chat with me.
What about
it? No, it's on behalf of Sticky Blood.
Oh, I mean, I don't mind Phil Collins. Big up Phil.
Sometimes I don't mind not listening to anything.
You don't mind not listening to anything?
Yeah, do you know what that means?
No, I don't know why I don't know that.
Well, what I think I mean when I say that is, sometimes I don't listen to anything.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, but I'm forcing you to listen to something that you're going to hate the rest of your life.
I do often drive from Sheffield to London
and listen
on
to
my
Phil
own
Collins.
And don't listen to anything.
Really?
I don't even have the radio on.
Well, you do spend your life listening
to
music.
And my my answer to that is why. Every time, we've spoke about this so many times, like, I don't always listen to music. Sometimes I listen to stuff.
I listen to podcasts.
Yeah,
I
love speaking when I'm driving.
Yeah, he does this.
It's very calming.
It is. It's like, I was saying it to him yesterday, it's like an extension of what he's doing, because you're thinking...
Wait a minute.
Yes, that is exactly what
that's
it is.
What it is, isn't it?
Like, but you both turn your nose up what I do, and I only just listen
to
my own.
We weren't turning your nose up.
I don't know.
I was more to, like...
There was a bit of foobar going on. There was definitely a foobar going on.
Foobar.
Foobar.
Yeah.
What does foobar mean?
It means fucked up beyond all recognition.
No, it doesn't. Does it?
That's what it kind of means, but that's
yeah.
Not...
Oh, yeah. I like that.
I like that you didn't believe me.
No, I like it.
It's
just trying to make sure it's real.
Yeah. It's real.
Oh, yeah.
Just like this. Thank you so much to you guys for coming to have a chat with me.
You came to us.
I did come to you. Yeah, I don't know why I said that.
We didn't.
I don't know what's going on
anymore.
Anymore.
Where is your station?
In Caledonian Road.
Is that near Enfield?
No.
Where is it?
Wouldn't have made a difference for us.
North
it's
London.
Islington. I don't know London at all.
It's like 10 minutes from here.
Oh, well, we should
have.
So why didn't we just down?
Because we like you. We wanted to come to you.
Or maybe we weren't invited.
No, that's not true.
Is it not a very big
your
studio?
Open invite? You, Phil yeah. Collins, anyone else you want to bring?
All right. Well, guess
Frisco.
What? Next time we're in London, we might come.
Please
by.
Come, and we yeah. can have way more fun.
All right.
Like half yeah. an hour's length
deal.
Of fun.
Half an hour's...
Even an hour if you want yeah. an hour.
Is it pre-recorded or is it live?
Live yeah. as you like.
An hour of live. An hour ooh. Live fun.
Yeah.
Uncensored live.
Uncensored fuck shit live.
Oh, sick. Fucking sick.
Fucking yes. Yeah. Fucking gin and tonic.
Yeah, we'll come next time. We'll bring a laptop. We'll make music live.
We'll do a Sticky Blood
live
session.
And you
can
do a song live.
Oh my God, I'll do a live session.
That can happen, can't it?
I'll do a Sticky
like
Blood
that.
Live session with my brand new single.
Fucking love shit like that.
I love shit, fuck shit. Oh My Days featuring Frisco is out now. Sticky Blood, thank you so much for coming to chat with us at Fubar Radio.
Thank you for coming to us.
The ultimate pleasure. Did I say it again?
You said it again.
Well, maybe I'm making the illusion that you've come to
and
me.
And is that on every card? Because I've been looking at this.
Fubar.
You've got one card, I see, but with notes the right size of the
because we didn't have any sticky tape.
Oh, sticky. Sticky, sticky.
Yes! The flow so gutter. Big Chris are on the road, no road runner. Course we had the ting locked down for the whole summer. She look Chris, I might have to tuck her. I give her the pipe, but I'm no plumber. Came up in the jungle, so I move savage. Big skeng that would do damage. Way too much for you and your crew to manage. When I come true, I smoke my victory spliff when I done you. Oh Lord, if you ain't no boss, I don't even wanna chat. Oh gosh, couple niggas had a little shine that pass. Me, I'm still here. Cause the room must last. Yes, it's still yeah. way better, no forever. On, you thought we on. Was gonna stop, you should've known better. Wherever Trevor go, get a yeah, my flow's better. Frisco make a pop, stop, no, never. Oh my word, oh my days. They must have put a success on the face. It's cause they let the animal out the cage. Nice orange. Straight shelling, come true in some Air Max and straight denim. If they don't like me, fuck a man, I ain't breading. Them man are scheming on the slide, them man, they ain't my brethren. So who want Tester Dan Dada? Man's badder, my brother, just don't bother. Man's a ransom, no shutters, no robbers. So anything is anything. Oh my word, gun chatter fly like bird. If a guy violate on the curb, fuck what you heard, fuck a genre, fuck a tempo. Where I come from, it's going off like Soweto. Nowadays it's the feds killing. Corrupt fed for dead and the judge for dead with him. I'm off the ends but I'm still with the ends chilling. Now let's toast to the facts, me and my friends winning. Oh my word, oh my days. They must have put the success on the face. It's cause they let the animal out the cage. Nice orange. Oh my word, oh my days. They must have put the success on the face. It's cause they let the animal out the cage.
You're listening to the best of Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
I'm sat here with a gorgeous Ray. How is it going?
It's going great.
Your hair is wicked, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Have you done, is it pink?
Yeah, it's like peachy pink.
Yeah, the colour is on point.
Oh,
I love
thanks.
It. We're here to talk about serious stuff, though. Like Are You and Us, your brand new single, which is out now. Tell us a bit about this. You co-wrote it with Charlie XCX.
Yeah.
So sick. Did you enjoy
it?
Like, tell me how you guys got together first.
It was like a writing camp thing or like a studio thing where they like shove a couple writers in one place, and like she decided to come down with Noonie Bao, who's another writer who I did it with. She's another artist and she's just ridiculously crazy.
Amazing. So just loads of amazing women artists.
Yeah, and it was me, her and a guy called Fred, and we were just literally having a party and we banged out about 3 or 4 couple songs. And
that's the best, that's like the best way to make music,
surely. Incredible. Yeah,
you and then had so much fun.
It was so much fun. It's nice sessions like that when it's just completely unexpected and you're just Yeah, it was great, and we got a great song out of it, clearly, because we've decided to put it out, you know, which is just really exciting.
And then you got her to direct the video, right?
Yeah.
How did that all come up? Did you just go up to
her
and be like...
I just texted her, hey, this is a long shot, but will you direct my video?
And,
yeah,
and it was her debut, like, directing,
it was.
Right?
Yeah.
Which must have been exciting for her as well. Did you have a lot of fun on the set?
She worked so hard, that girl. I have so much respect for her. She was just... on it, didn't miss a thing. I was at her house like 3, 4, 5 days before the shoot, practicing moves in the mirror. Like, she's great.
Did you love shooting? Do you love shooting music videos? Because I think it looks like the most fun thing to ever do, ever.
It is intimidating. Like, it is tough. I think, like, I'm so warming up to all of that stuff now. Like, I'm kind of... don't mind having a little photo shoot now. I'm just like, oh, pose, Like, before I used to be like... only one angle. It's all becoming really fun, and the song is just feels really good, and Charlie's just great.
I think the more you do that kind of stuff, it's because it must be weird when you first start and it's like we want to take a million photos of you.
It's
and
so
things
weird.
Like paparazzi and all that stuff, and it's like, oh, I can't even see. But then after a while you just hone it.
You just got a light zone. Know what I mean?
And
I'm getting better at that, I think. So
I can't wait to see the progression of posing that's going to happen over the next few years. So tell us about the second EP, because obviously this is your brand new EP. It's out now. It's quite a few songs, you know. It's a big EP. It's not like a 3-song EP.
How did you
come about making this? Was it sort of like everything just came organically and it just happened, or did you find it difficult?
It was like a long process of being like, that song's not right, that is. So we had a whole other EP which was like completely different songs, and like, this is the one, and then we were like, no. I was like, not right. But, you know, for the best reasons, I think, because I couldn't be happy with this body of work. Like, it's so personal and it's so real to me.
And it has to represent you, I guess.
Yeah,
it has
definitely.
To be exactly what you've... And if it's not, you're like, oh, hold on, this is not Ray. Like,
well, yeah, exactly, you know. And I feel like we got to a point where I'm like, this is literally from me to you, and it feels really good.
And now it's, like, out there and sort of people can hear it and fans are going to start enjoying it and things like that.
Yeah.
Are you more excited now to perform live, you know? Like,
massively.
Even the summer's over, it's time for live performances. Yeah. People are gagging to see you, you know, sing this stuff. Is it a bit more of an experience now? You've got it and it's done and you can just get it out there.
Yeah, I think nothing feels better than, like, having worked on something so hard for ages and then just putting it on the internet and being like, people like it, people are listening. And it's just, it's really, like, really special, I think.
And it's not only, like, people liking it. People are loving it. Everyone is talking. We were just talking, I was just saying, everyone is talking about you, which must be so cool, because no one ever talks about me. It's really boring. but that must be quite exciting. You know, you've put your heart and soul into this body of work, and now people are listening to it, and they're loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing. I was saying earlier, like... you know, this is just the beginning, and you can see how quickly, like,
it all happens.
It all happens, but it can just be taken away as well.
Oh,
like, you just have to stay on the ball and stay on it, and I'm planning to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've done the second EP.
Yeah.
Singles out. What's next for you? What do you see being the next body of work that you're going to put out?
We've got some, like, sick tunes that I'm so happy with. Yeah,
that's so exciting.
And I think we're prepared.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, we've gotten,
you're ready.
Yeah, we've worked in the pipeline, we've been behind the scenes, but we're getting ready to throw everything out there.
And that's the hard bit, isn't it, when you're working all the tracks and you're sort of like, oh, I just want to get them out, I just want to get them out. And now you've got, like, a body of work that you're gonna just sort of slowly tease us with.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So the next year's going to be pretty exciting. You're going to do a lot of live stuff now.
Yeah, we're doing a couple of live shows. I've got my headline show on the 20th of October.
It's which so is exciting. Sold out. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to sneak in the back door then. Is that legit?
You can do it.
I'm going
to
do it.
I'll tell everyone to, like, you know.
I'm going to have to pay the bouncers. I'm going to have to pay them.
We'll tip him.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that stuff works, but I'm probably going to look. They're going to laugh in my face. And, like, that way. I'm going to be like, how does this work? I'm getting in. I'll just run past them. It's fine. So where's the ideal place that you find? Because we were just talking about where you made the tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
Where's the ideal place for you to make music? Is there one specific spot, or is it like a type of studio, or is it in your bedroom?
All over. It's kind of nice switching it up, to be honest.
Yeah.
I got a little like set up at my house where I just like play keys and vibe, and then
that's nice.
I go a couple friends' houses. They got studios there, and sometimes we use like proper ones. It's whatever. I kind of like switching it up.
Yeah, that's cool. And you work with a lot of other artists already. You've got Stormzy on the EP and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you're desperate to collab with on a track? I'm sure there's a few.
There's
but
too many.
Yeah. But anyone sort of up and coming artists that you're digging right now that you'd like to sort of do something with? Because I guess you're tapping into the grime with Stormzy. He is hitting it so hard. He's smashing it right.
Yeah. He's such a G. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm doing Steph. Do you know Steph London?
Yeah,
she's
like
an up and coming chick, but she's so bad and she's so good.
Oh my God. I'm
bad
so
and
excited.
Good.
Bad, good. Bad in a good way.
She's bad and she's good. That is the best kind. No, she's great. And we're kind of working on something that's coming out soon. So that's really exciting as well.
So everything's just really exciting. And you dabble in your own little fashion line as well, don't you?
I am.
Tell us a bit about that. I mean, you dress amazing anyway, but tell us a bit about your stuff that you're doing.
It is literally a big, large sized fluffy jumper. It's like really warm on the inside. It's got like four stripes and it's a second on it, and they're just called second jumpers.
They're sick.
Yeah,
I checked them out on the website. They're really cool.
Please do. They're so great. They sold out like the first time, so we've restocked, which is a great feeling.
Yeah. Do you think you're gonna go into more fashiony stuff, or do you need to
definitely?
Does it sort of get in the way of music, or do they work kind of seamlessly together?
I mean, like, I think a job like this, you're all in.
Yeah.
So just all my time, I'm like, what can I do better? What can this, blah, 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 you know? So I'll make time as long as I have it.
Do you have much time right now?
Not a lot.
Which is, because I was talking to someone the other day about this, and when you're in a world where you're making music and you're an up-and-coming artist, and then suddenly you go from having that time where you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
To suddenly being like, I don't have any time, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That must be so cool, though.
I love being busy.
Yeah.
I hate, literally, my manager will be like, right, take a day off today, and I'm just sitting at home, like...
Netflix.
Narcos?
Yeah, Narcos season 2.
So good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
so
all good. Over it. But then you're going to be done with that soon.
I am.
What are you going to do on your next day off?
I don't know.
No, it's so exciting, and we absolutely love you at FUBAR Radio.
Oh.
So thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. Before we go, I play a little game on my show called Desert Island Dicks.
Right.
And in this game, don't worry, it's not what you're thinking. It's, you know, Desert Island Discs, I'm sure you've heard of, which is where you get stuck on a desert island and you get to choose 6 songs that you're going to be stuck there with.
Oh, okay, right.
Similar to that, except I'm a dick.
Right.
And I make you sit on this desert island with one shit song that you absolutely hate. Now, it doesn't have to be a song that you don't like the artist. It can be a song that you've heard so many times you love it, but you couldn't be stuck with it. Or it could be a song that you straight up hate. So, Ray, what is your desert island dick?
Oh, what is it? It's got to be that, you know, that stupid song that they made, that they played at the school discos when I was in year 6.
Oh, my God,
Cowgirl. Romeo.
Oh, Romeo. That's a tune. No, that's horrible.
If I was stuck on a desert island.
But then you could have your own little small school disco every day.
That would drive me mentally insane.
Yeah, I think that's a very good choice.
I mean, like, once it was just thrown into like a little party and you're like, oh, throwback Thursday, but...
I mean, even then, it's like, it's worryingly sort of...
It is quite dangerous.
On the edge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
We hope to see you again soon and can't wait for all this tasty new music you're going to be bringing out.
Oh, definitely.
Go and get the second EP right now.
Delete the pictures off my phone. You know, you were never in my zone. Ooh. Pack your bag, it's time to go. You know,
You are not the one I want. All of the messages you send, talking about how we should stay friends. Come again, come again, come again. Every single second that we spend, every single place in town we went. Up again, up again. Up on my walls, you won't, it would be as if I never knew. The next girl that you meet, gonna do what I do on repeat. Come again, say it loud. Never ever see you on my street, but you think you'll never talk to me. Let me spell, spell it out. Shoulder so quiet, all you wanna. I can't say to listen to you telling me about how perfect we work. Is this you? Because it's missing. It feels so good to say I and you, you and I. We are rest isn't right. You were with her when I needed you by my side, and so now you will listen to me when I sing it to you. It's so easy to say, like, no, 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 no.
The best of Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio, and I'm very excited to be chatting to Aurora on the black carpet at Vivo Halloween, just about to take the stage. How are you feeling?
I feel good.
Your outfit is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, I'm a big fan of Tim Burton.
Yeah, I thought you might. Is it Corpse Bride?
Yes.
I like the apples as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were wondering, a lot of your tracks and also the name of your album are fairly sort of Halloween-y, not Halloween themed, but they touch
but
on...
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It fits, it's a day that fits me.
It kind of fits. Are you a big fan of Halloween?
Well, it's not a big thing in Norway, but
oh, really?
I'm a big fan of autumn and creepy things. I love scary movies, and
these are
my normal clothes. I just put them together, so it's just I do like the chance to celebrate anything as well. So it's always a nice thing.
If you like horror films, who's your favourite horror film character?
Ooh,
mine's Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, mine too.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
At least we share the same love for Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, we do.
And the same love for being creepy. That's a good vibe. I'm going to do a little quiz for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
This is the FUBAR Radio phobia quiz with Aurora. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say some phobias, and I'd love you to try and guess what they are.
Okay.
First one is aurorophobia.
Oh, a phobia of something weird.
Luckily, it's the phobia of northern aurora lights.
Ooh.
See what we did there? Okay, decantophobia. Decantophobia.
A fear of hollow stuff?
No, it's actually a fear of singing, something that you definitely don't have.
Oh. Decantophobia.
Yeah, phobophobia.
A phobia of having a phobia of something.
Yeah. That's my favourite one, I think. A phobia of a phobia. Okay, then we've got cholerophobia.
Is it the phobia of
having
colours?
No, it's actually the phobia of clowns.
Oh.
Are you scared of clowns?
Isn't everyone at the
time?
Yeah,
I think they are. And the last one is papaphobia.
a phobia of, well, I do want to say of daddies, of papas.
Close, close. It's a phobia of the Pope.
Oh, I can see that.
Thank you so much for coming to join us on Foobar Radio. I hope you have a fantastic performance tonight. It's lovely
Thank
to
you.
Meet you. And we'll catch you next time.
Yes.
Bye. We're stronger now. My heart still beats. And my skin still feels. My lungs still breathe. My mind still feels. But we're running out of time. The echoes in my mind cry. There's blood on your lies. The sky is open wide. There is nowhere for you to hide. The hunter's moon is shining. I'm running with the wolves tonight. I'm running with the wolves. I'm running with the wolves tonight. I'm running with the wolves. I'm running with the trick or treat. What would it be? I walk alone. I'm everything. My ears can hear, and my mouth can speak. My spirit talks. I know my soul believes. But we're running out of time.
So I'm joined by Zara Larsson, looking absolutely outstanding.
Thanks.
Maleficent, am I right?
So do you.
No, not as good
correct.
As you. Can you wiggle your horns? Because I keep seeing you do that and it looks too cool. That is incredible.
I don't really know how this is going to...
It's like the most
dancing,
mesmerizing...
You know, I'm dancing when I'm performing.
But it's the most mesmerizing wiggle I've ever seen. So are you excited
like
for your performance tonight?
I'm very excited. I'm really, really excited.
Because you've had a busy week, haven't you? You've been doing a lot of Halloween-y stuff.
Absolutely.
So have we got anything extra special to look forward to other than the horn wiggle?
I don't really know. This is actually the only show that I'm bringing my band to.
It's exciting.
So, and we always give each other such good energy.
Yeah.
And we have so much fun on stage.
So we're going to have a good time tonight.
We're going to have a great time. And, when the audience is really not feeling it, which I know they will today because I heard
people from
Liverpool are crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Which I love and is so excited about. But, we always have fun. We have so much fun.
Do you have a lot of fun when you play in the UK?
I do. I really do.
You
one of my
it.
Favorite memories from today's, this year's summer was V.
So sick.
Yeah.
I was there. You were fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
The energy is out of this
world.
Now, in the realm of Halloween style, is there anything spooky or scary or frightening that's ever happened to you on stage?
No.
So maybe tonight could be the night. Maybe you'll see a ghost.
Maybe I'll see a ghost. I'll tell you if I do.
Have you seen a ghost before in your life?
No. I used to, really, really, I wanted to believe in them so bad when I was little. I did Ouija board all the time.
Ouija, that's
all
pretty...
the time. But it just never happened.
Well, I hope it does for you.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very exciting. Quickly before we go, I'm going to play a quick game with you.
Okay.
It's called the Foobar Phobia Quiz.
Ooh.
I'm going to say a name of a phobia and you just say the first thing that comes into your head.
Got you.
Aloxodoxophobia.
Aloxodoxophobia. probably for some reason, doorknobs.
It's actually the fear of opinions.
No way.
Yeah. Next one.
I don't have that.
Decantophobia.
Decantophobia.
You'll be very shocked when I tell you this one.
Decantophobia. It sounds like I just think of sharp things.
The fear of singing.
Well, I don't have that either.
And finally, last one, phobophobia.
Phobia for phobia.
Yes!
Yeah.
Thank you so
that.
Much for chatting to
Thank
us on Foobar Radio. It's been
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
Have a great time tonight.
You too.
Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. It ain't my fault you keep turning me on. It ain't my fault you got me so gone. It ain't my fault I'm not leaving alone. It ain't my fault you keep turning me on. I can't talk right now. I'm looking at a lock. What I'm seeing got me feeling kind of shocked right now. Could've stopped right now. Even if I wanna gotta get it where it's right now. Oh my God, what is this? Want you all in my business. Baby, I insist. Please don't blame me for whatever happens then. No, I can't be responsible.
listening to the best of Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Joining me in the studio right now is Cakes de Killer. He's just dropped his brand new album, Hedonism, October 21st. How's it going? How are you feeling?
I am looking for a drink, as per usual. I'm always trying to get drunk. It's
oh,
so
my
mad.
God. I'm so sorry.
It's fine, but I'm good. I'm good, though.
You caught us on the one time.
It's a drought in here.
Well, usually I'm off my face by 4:05.
That's a good time to be off your face.
Yeah, I mean, 99 out of 100 shows, we're drunk.
And I miss, and I'm on one of them. I'm on the sober show. Fuck.
We fucked it.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it like you're drunk. I don't know how I'm going to do that, whether I'm going to slip something into your drink or... I'm not sure how we're going to go with that.
The on-air roofie. I'm here for it.
So, how are you enjoying the UK?
I mean, the UK is fun. I went out last night to a little party. I had some of my friends here. Shout out to Jubilee and Nick Cook. So, that was fun. I sleep a lot.
Oh my God, babe, tell me about it.
I'm like, ever since I turned 26, I'm the worst person. So, don't ask me anything about fun.
Oh my God, I love to sleep. Sleeping's very important.
All I do is sleep and
it's winter.
Netflix.
We need to hibernate. We need to keep warm inside a bed while also having our eyes closed.
Right. And also don't eat too much because eating and hibernation means belly fat.
No,
I'm
but
trying
I
to avoid that.
You know when you say don't do that, it's like, I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to continue to do that.
I mean, whatever. Do whatever you want to do.
Do
I'm
you?
Not. I'm just going to eat salad. That's all I do. Eat salad.
Eat
and
salad
sleep.
And sleep.
Right.
That sounds like pre-rock star lifestyle, I'm not going to lie.
This interview is going to make me so bad. I'm not going to sell the album. I was like, Cakes is a loser.
A loser who makes really good music,
right,
though.
Exactly.
Really good music,
that's the other
though.
Side to me.
Listen, I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
And this album, because it's your first album.
Right, this is my debut album.
But before this, you've obviously done a few mixtapes.
Dropping those mixtapes.
Yeah. Was it a different process? How do you feel having released an album now? You know, your debut album is out.
Right. I don't feel any different. The process really wasn't that different either. I think mainly with the album was learning the ins and outs of the industry as far as dealing with PR and dealing with the label and paying people.
Big boy stuff.
Right. It's really big boy stuff. Like, here's this money, kid. What are we going to do with it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know?
Spend it all.
Right. Of course. I need new shoes. You know, shopping in London is expensive. Anyway.
It is very
but,
expensive.
It was a really therapeutic process. And I look at the project as a retrospective of, you know, all my old work. So, yeah. And I had to clean that up.
That was so... You're such an adult.
Thank you. I know. I'm old now.
I'm literally, like, feel like a child over here.
Stop.
I really like it, number one. We're going to play my favourite song from the album, New
right.
Phone, Who Dis?
Damn.
And you popped a little digital video. I say digital, it's like a sort of like okay. motion. I don't know how you say it.
Animated?
Like, animated!
She's like, put your what? Earphones in. I'm like, what, are we going on a flight or something?
Isn't
like,
it, no. Isn't it fucking hilarious that my job is to speak?
Right, but you got to teach me some UK slang so I can like get hip, so I can like mac on people and not sound like
I'm
a complete...
not hip.
This is like unhip hour. Like
okay, so
salad
just me,
eating and no raw.
Like
you gotta be my wing woman, but you're like.
Just say vibe. Do you know what?
Vibe.
Vibes all the time. Just have like fucking vibes.
Oh, I'm like,
vibes.
Oh, he's fit.
Yeah.
He's fit.
Oh,
I like
fitty.
His vibe.
Yeah, total fitty.
Total fitty.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You please continue to talk in a sort of quasi Cockney accent for this entire interview, because otherwise I'm going to be really
That's
upset.
That's the only way I'm going to bag a boy from Brixton.
You need to bag a boy from Brixton by saying fitty.
Fitty.
Hello,
vibe.
Fitty.
Hello, matey. I always end up sounding like a pirate. I'm sorry.
Dude, you need to move here.
No, I would be You're obnoxious gonna... like Madonna. I would just all the time. I would appropriate everything. I'd be on my grimes, talking real fast, hypey. It would be so bad.
Oh my God, that would be not bad. That would be the opposite of bad.
Okay, whatever. Cakes is moving to Hackney.
Yay! And you can just come on the show every day and we can just get drunk for one.
Right. Because you do owe me a cocktail.
I owe you 10,
and I
babe.
Tend to collect on my debts. So.
Please do. Please, please do. Right, let's talk about serious stuff.
Right.
actually, no, I can't be bothered.
The election.
So anyway, Donald Trump.
Right.
Fuck that guy. I've heard about him enough.
Right.
Tell me how Richard Bradshaw
right.
became Cakes de Killer.
Because I couldn't be... Rashard Bradshaw as a rapper. So I was just like, what's cuter? And I was like, Cake's the killer, duh. There's really no difference. Like, everyone assumes that there's some type of, like, mask or, like, makeup moment. Like, it's really not. Like, I'm constantly being an irritable, hungry, horny bitch. And I just decided to just do it on beat.
Mm. And get money. Was so creepy for me. I was like, Yeah.
Same.
Okay, all the creepiness over here for you, so just so you know that in advance. I've listened to a lot of your interviews talking about how you sort of got into rapping and right. got into, and it was actually you just at school and you just decided that it was a good idea to kind of use it as a like a form to like bounce off people.
Yeah,
or?
Thank you for doing your research though, because not a lot of times people would do
baby,
background.
I am so good at my job. Even though I can't say words, I read stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I just started rapping just to make fun of people, and then people was like, you actually are good. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should just do it. And then I started getting checks, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Checks
oh,
are
yeah.
very
traveling
nice.
And shit. Like, why the fuck am I in Sydney? Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
I don't give a fuck. Just
right,
give me that check
right,
again.
Right.
And bring
but
me some nice food. That's what
I think. It's always good to travel and, like, be young and meet people and, you know, be creative. I think that's really fulfilling.
And in the industry right now, it's obviously thick with talent.
Thick with talent.
Thick
yeah.
is another one. Thick, she's thick, he's thick. Okay. Like, that's describing someone as fit. They're thick, got thick ass.
Ooh, thick ass.
Do you like the way I'm doing this face?
I mean,
luckily, all of you at home can't see it, but I'm making quite a sexy face.
It is so erotic. I'm straight now. Yeah. How am I going to sell out all these gay arenas?
I'm sorry, guys. I turned Cake's the Killer straight.
With this fit face. Ooh, look at me. Ow. Talking like
both
I'm
of us together would be quite the parody because yeah. I'm also gay. So
Ebony
be,
and Ivory.
Yes. Yeah. And the gay.
The gay beards. Would you like be like the thick gay straight couple?
We'll just beard off. Like, the beard. Who's the beard? I don't know. We're just in a revolving beard that just
We should adopt a mixed baby. So like it's completely like real.
Like, where does the beard end? Where does it begin?
I can't. This sounds like a really bad Netflix drama that we have to write.
Oh my God. I'd love to star in this Netflix drama that would also be in the gay and lesbian section of Netflix.
I've watched everything in there. Like,
oh my God, babe, we all have. We all have. Tell me about your track with Peaches, because okay. she is amazing.
Right. Complete lunatic.
Yes. And I believe she turned 50 this year.
That sounds like a lie. She's like...
Looks about 10 years old.
Looks legitimately like doesn't age, and I know she kills kids in Berlin. Like, I know
literally,
she has, like,
she's 48. She's 48
she's
years old.
40 billion years old. She's the creator of everything, of music, of electro clash, of crowd
being,
surfing.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so weird that you said that.
She levitates on people's hands. Like, basically, like, me and Peaches...
like the craft.
Right, it's literally next level. We've been doing shows together for a while, and I'm just like, I've had so much respect for her just as an artist, and I was like, oh, I'm doing an album, you want to get on it? And she's like, yeah. So I'm like, let's do it.
Ugh.
Grandmama, get on the track.
She is so sick. Yeah. I saw her when I was about 16, and... Yeah.
All those years ago.
Many years ago. And she blew my mind.
Right.
Blew my tits off,
right.
I should say.
Legitimately.
And I like that I replaced blew my mind with blew my tits off. It was like the better version of that saying.
The next level.
And she crowd surfed.
Right.
She's incredible.
Peaches, I don't want to give away her show, but inflatable dildos.
Oh my
and
God.
Jock
if there's
straps.
Not at least 11 penises featuring,
like,
then it's.
It's committed.
Something's wrong.
It's an off Broadway play. Yeah. Like, I hate opening for her. It's just like.
Oh, it's just very, like, sort of like somber.
Right.
And like,
me on stage yelling and sweating, and everyone is just like, bring out Peaches, bring out Peaches. I'm like, give me fucking 20 minutes.
No, you're the perfect accoutrement.
Okay.
For Peaches.
What that mean? Like,
I don't know, but I think it means...
the appetizer.
I think it means, like, something to go with.
We did a show in New York, and I described myself as, well, you guys don't have red lobster out here. No, you don't.
We have lobsters. What's red lobster?
Oh, my gosh. You won't get it. You don't know about
red
cheddar
lobsters.
Biscuits. You don't know about the cheddar biscuit?
I want a cheddar biscuit, whatever the fuck. I mean, we have
gosh.
Biscuits that taste like cheddar, if that helps.
Basically, I just described myself as the appetizer to the main course, but you wouldn't get it.
Whatever. I do. I get it. Whatever. I'm there. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought I was back in New York.
What is red lobster? What is help me? Help me.
It's a really, really like...
I've gone from turning you straight to ruining your life.
Right, now I'm just asexual. Like, please. This was... I don't know why I agreed to do this. Sex drive, libido gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You've literally been interviewed by the worst human in the world. Anyway, so you've been playing a lot of live gigs.
Right.
You're about to play a gig on Friday at the Camden Assembly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're basically sleeping a lot to prep and eating salads.
Right.
What else are you doing to prep for Friday's show?
Listening to the music. yelling at my agent because I need to make sure the writer is correct. I don't know.
Shouting at people.
Dumb shit.
Shout at people.
Stupid shit. Silly shit. You know? Doing shit
getting
like
fucked
this.
Up, but not on this show because we're rubbish.
No, but I'm definitely going to go home and get fucked up because like, I've been in the house not doing shit. Like, everything in London is so far away. It's like, oh, I'll go out. Actually, no, I'm not.
No, don't leave. It's too cold. Just watch Netflix.
I'm over it.
Watch the gay and lesbian section of Netflix
but
again.
But I did go out last night, which was fun, and I'm going to go out today and... Yeah, shout out to everybody in London.
And what should all the people coming down to see you on Friday, what should they expect?
They should all come down and see me, like all of them. Bring your moms and your pops and expect foolishness and lyrical audio leakage. Penetration. Expect audio penetration.
Just say words, because I really like listening to you. You just said leakage and penetration in the same sentence.
I mean, I feel very comfortable here.
I'm more comfortable than I've ever been, and I've been here for ages. Do you want to introduce your track that you're going to play next? We're going to play New Phone.
Definitely, homies. This is Cakes the Killer coming at you live from FUBAR Radio, and this new track is... Wait, this is not new. Wait, this is new. Well, I don't know what reality this is. This is New Phone. Who's this? Cakes the Killer.
Bye!
Really thought you was the king of my Barbie. I see I gotta judge you like a nigga just a Safari. Quick to save face when we pump through the lobby. Sucks that we couldn't keep a buck, I'm sorry. So, good night, book flight. Red eye on the West Coast. Promoters got my money, so it's on to the next show. All bark, no bite, digging on my mental. Why you always frontin', keep it real, it's essential. A smoking gun, raise the blade on tongue. My game's just for fun, should've hit it and run. Caught out on the limb, we should've kept it at done. Now I'm sitting in my feelings with my face so numb. But who's that peeking in my window? I guess they got the word. Now, cause now your boy is single. I'ma hit the city up and I'm down to mingle. Player talking flash. I wonder what the mouth do. You think this sweet like honey to a bee? I've been attracting ballers and actors around me. I've been here already. Jersey bread like Fetty. My come up is kinda steady. So goobies be flocking heavy. The thirst is so cute. Chickens about the coop. They perched up on the roof. Just waiting on me to swoop in here. Come, my ex, he's sitting there looking stressed. I'm moving on to the next. Equal and it's in the duck block.
Yo, it's Kicks. If you got something sweet to say, just leave your name and number after the beat.
All right. Who this? Cutthroat, ruthless. Appreciate my love, then I leave you looking stupid. You know how I do this. I switch up so quick. This could test me getting wasted doing jello shots to Cupid. Who this? Cutthroat, ruthless. Appreciate my love, then I leave you looking stupid. You know how I do this. I switch up so quick. This could test me getting wasted doing jello shots to Cupid. Maintenance, ready to do patience. The moves I be making wrap the smiles of faces. Gotta serve a gun to keep them tied up like my laces. Keep a killer roster just to cover all my bases. Ha! Maintenance, very little patience. The moves I be making wrap the smiles of faces. Gotta serve a gun to keep them tied up like my laces. Keep a killer roster just to cover all my bases. Tummy getting flatter, getting fatter. Watch me serve it up, a little hex on the platter. And I'm blocking fools in my Gmail with the chatter. Watch me whip it up, top chef with the batter. New phone, who this? Switch up my blueprints, twist up my body. On the scene and leaving footprints. The best you ever had. Had to re-up on some new shit. Feelings get you hurt. Coming at me on some roots. New phone. Who this? Cutthroat. Ruthless. Appreciate my love. Then I leave you looking stupid. You know how I do this. I switch up so quick. This could test me getting wasted. Doing jello shots to Cupid. New phone. Who this? Cutthroat. Ruthless. Appreciate my love. Then I leave you looking stupid. You know how I do this. I switch up so quick. This could test me getting wasted. Doing jello shots to Cupid. Call it a
the jet black. Moving on to the next, he calling us in the jet black.
The best of Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. I am joined by Mike Righteous right now. We're going to be chatting about his brand new album, Dreamland, which is out tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Technically, it's out tonight.
Tonight? Well, right. Midnight.
Midnight.
That's not tonight. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, but...
You're excited, aren't you? You're excited and you're trying to count down. That's a little bit like Christmas Eve, isn't it? You're waking up.
It's like
you that kid that wakes up at 12:01 a.m. and it's like, it's Christmas Day?
This could take a really dark turn if I give you an honest answer.
Okay.
But I'm like that kid that's like the day before his holiday, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
second grand on holiday.
But that's the best way to be.
Yeah.
And on that note, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10 for Dreamland to be dropped finally?
I think the only way to describe it is...
That is the best description, actually. I'd rather we didn't do any words in this interview. We just did sort of feelings and
words
movements.
Are just symbols for feelings, and sometimes words can't explain feelings, and that feeling I can't explain in words.
The lyrical prowess of this man, just spitting it as we speak. Also, I must say, like, as we've like just been setting up for this interview, you've been spitting bars. I kept accidentally interrupting, sounded like I was trying to get involved. Not good enough to get involved. You're a very, very talented man, and I've been listening to all the tracks on Dreamland and loving it. I have to say, though, Be There really struck a chord with me. I absolutely love Vivienne Westwood anyway, but she features on the track.
Amazing.
Huge. Also, of course, you've got featured vocals on there as well, but Vivienne Westwood, how did that come about?
Organically, I'd like to say, for one, like, I didn't have like a label sort of chasing down Vivienne Westwood, like, get Vivienne.
Did you have Tone singing on it before you...
It was Tone's track originally. He made that in his shed in 2004. He made that in his mum's shed when he was making beats. We've lost all the stems to it. When we done it, we just recorded it to an MP3 and he already had the vocal recorded.
Amazing.
So we were just like, such a banger, I'm recording it. We recorded it quite a while ago.
Yeah.
The Vivienne thing came about when she... announced herself as a rapper, and I was like, wow, do you want to feature on my album? She was like, cool. And I was like, how about we do it? And then she was in the studio doing it, and I was like,
so you actually got into the studio with her?
I'd met her a couple times. Sick. Man, she'd invited me to a group that she's got, which is called Intellectuals Unite, and it's just a group of well, like I say, people that want to see a change and make a change and collectively coming together to do that. So,
because she's sort of talking a lot about the climate revolution and things like that and all the
climate
changes.
Unemployment, general injustice, and someone needs to, people need to, people with power and influence need to, and infrastructure.
And you're one of those people, and you touch on a lot of political subjects in the album. Talk me through how those subjects were, because obviously you were working on this one since 2005, right? Or at least it's based around your life from 2005.
Yes, I'm glad you...
And tell me a bit about the sort of key things in terms of politics and in terms of big events in your life that sort of infiltrated and affected the album and how it is now.
Yeah, well, I mean, leading up to this, in my freestyles, I mean, it's perceived as political, but what I try to do is connect through to the personal rather than the political, and the personal is... the feeling of the effects that's caused by a corrupt politician or a corrupt policeman. And them feelings are feelings of sadness and anger and pain. So that's why it comes out how it does. But in my album, as I say, like you said, and I'm glad you recognise, because that is the whole point of this album, and I'm glad, like, for me, that's confirmation. I've done a good job. But... it is a story, and it is personal, and it is documentation of my life from 2005. Like, I tell the story of my first sort of glimpse of a studio, the first few tracks I recorded, how I met my mentor, how I earned money, how I got thrown off course, how I got thrown back on course, how I lost my mind, how I found myself, and eventually realised, what's fame? What's money? What's real? What's not? I'm real. Are you?
That's so... I didn't even know what to say after that. That was so sick. You even speak like... not obviously not like you rap, but like you speak in such a poetic way.
It's like almost, oh, sorry, I just banged.
That's all right, no.
It's almost hypnotic the way you talk with such passion about the things that you're
well,
you know,
thank
making
you
music
for your
about.
Kind words, but I feel like it's inherited in my background where I'm from. It's
yeah, just, so you're born and raised in Margate, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. How did that affect your music?
It didn't, I mean...
Well, because the album's obviously called Dreamland as well.
The album's called Dreamland, what am I talking about? Yeah, that's such a good question. And to be honest, the way it's affected me as a person, I guess, means it's affected me in my music. Because who I am in my music reflects me as a person. And Margate was everything to me. It built me 100%. My peers showed me like light in dark times when I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. I stayed with my brother because I was raised in the gutter.
It's really exciting that this album's finally being unleashed on the world. And I think it's very important. We were talking just a minute ago about Akala and about like people rapping about...
How he
about,
likes to filter water.
Yeah, how he likes to filter his water in his
house.
It's
very important we do. Cause...
Yeah, it's very important. We were just discussing that as well. But you were saying about how rappers talk about certain things in certain songs, but actually talking about things that matter is becoming really important. And actually, it's kind of an epidemic. People are talking about things that they want to make changes about now. And like, as a rapper, do you feel like that's in the core of you, or is it just your personal experience that you're putting through and you're just seeing how that comes out, you know? Or is it you are deliberately trying to make...
I mean, what's important
points?
To you as a person, I can't tell. What's important to me is... it might be for my own egotistical reason, but leaving behind my legacy. And if my legacy's a bad one, I've done a bad job. Even if I go to bed at night knowing that, done more bad than good that day, done a bad job that day. So if I'm going out and I'm stepping on a stage and I'm stepping in front of 1 million people, 1,000 people, 10 people, or 1 person, I need to do a good job.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't go out there and tell them a bunch of lies.
But you have done with this as well, and I think your fans are noticing it. Everyone's tweeting, getting excited. And of course, you've got the live album. You're playing it out tonight, right? You're going to have special...
This is the big, like, these are the things that I want to try and cater to my crowd, crowd of sort of artists. I know there are a lot of people that follow in these footsteps that are listening and watching us, and they've been sort of down-hurdled and doubted by the sort of industry of... the criteria of what you need to meet to be able to have a fully functional campaign.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you don't need none of that stuff.
No.
Because they said to me, where do you want to do your listening party? What big building do you want to rent out? And where do you want to put like the speakers and the balloons? And I was like, nowhere. I want to do it everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, how'd you do that? And I was like, you do it in my bedroom, on my laptop, Facebook Live, with my headphones in, invite the whole world, and then... if you got it, you can listen to it on headphones with me and we'll go through every track and everyone in the world is invited. Anyone can listen. It's a global listening party.
I'll definitely be listening.
Listening in 12 o'clock tonight, the global listening party for Mike Righteous's album. But you have to have the album to listen in because I'll be listening through headphones. And if you've got the album, you'll be listening to it out loud. But I will be speaking through the tracks, telling you when to pause it, going to other tracks, telling you what my favourite bars are about it, telling you the most personal parts of it. Because there are sort of like, in my lyrics, they can sort of be hidden sort of truths. I will explain them hidden truths to you, pause the music and go through them with you. And if you ain't got the music, you've lost out.
That's next level, because I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing...
I don't think anyone ever has, and it's such a simple idea. And it's so effective. Like, if you're an artist, you could do that in your own small little community on a smaller scale.
Well, it's what people do.
It's what
you've
got
to
do
to get
through.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lost art somewhere. That's been sort of shrouded by like corporate
fame,
money, fame, jewelry. We've lost sight of legacy. It's like that rings off.
I literally can't get them off. Otherwise, I would.
To be fair,
they are stuck right on there.
Yeah.
But on that note, we were just talking about... So you were talking about young musicians and people in the game. What advice would you give to people following your footsteps? What kind of thing would you wish
I'd
you were
say,
told when you were younger and you were starting out?
I got told everything I needed to get told, and that was the beauty.
Yeah.
I'd say put yourself in a position where you're getting told what you need to be told. And what I mean by what you need to be told is the truth. What you don't need to be told is everything just to get you to believe in a false truth. I was told the harsh truth and it didn't always feel great, but it got me to a point where I'm able to be myself. So keep a good close circle of friends around you. Probably the ones you grew up with from day one. They say don't mix business, blood and water, or some sort of phrase, but that fuck that. Forgot we can swear.
Fuck.
Shh. That.
No, yeah, that makes well, that's so great as well, because I feel the same about life as well. If you're told, you know, you're given all the nice things, then you're never going to make it, because you're just going to think, oh, everything's fine all the time.
Yeah, well, it's like that, isn't it? Like, yeah. Sometimes I've been guilty of telling people someone something because I know they just want to hear it, and that does no good for someone, you know what I mean?
Can't, it doesn't help, does it? Especially in the music industry as well right now.
Yeah, but one thing I've always been told, and it's another clear thing, key thing we need to get off for any other budding like musicians or anyone doing anything, is that factor of don't give up, mate, please, because what's going to happen is you're not ever going to realise. If you don't, how do you not know what you never know?
Yeah.
So just keep grafting, keep grinding. Why does anything else have to matter? I'm telling you, struggle. You might not have no money for 2 years. You might not get no radio play for 5 years during that. And you might just be like, oh, why am I doing this? You're doing it because it's your purpose, mate.
Mike Reich is telling you right now on FUBAR Radio, listen up if you're an up-and-coming musician or an up-and-coming anything.
Anything you want to be. Even if you could do the best in anything, but just be the best at you.
Well, I'm telling you now, I couldn't do what you do.
I would be
awful. We've already tested out a minute ago when you were doing spitting some bars, and I was
Let's be honest. You can't all do everything.
No, but that's okay. It's mostly just me. So I saw your live tracks on SBTV, and also I was been catching all your videos. SBTV, Charlie Sloth did release one for you. Link Up TV. I wanted to ask you. I think it's an important question to ask artists like you. How important do you think it is for the support of these music channels for artists like you and up and coming artists and big artists like you or up and coming, doesn't matter. Do you think it's important for these people to sort of be supporting you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Amazing question. I'm glad you asked it. And I think it is 100%. It's a priority. It should be a priority for them as UK broadcasters, big platforms, you know, mm-hmm. that are sort of, in my opinion, gatekeepers. And, you know, massive props, because you built this empire, but don't forget why you built it, you know. And it also works 50-50. There's people that were born on these channels. I was. That's why I've sort of stayed true. We've had moments where we've had like a bit of a, oh, what's going on here, what's going on there. It's never lost any love. And it's important to sort of build these relationships, maintain these relationships, and find these opportunities where you can get in with these correct people and sort of build relationships with them. But it should also be a thing of like, from their side of open-mindedness, like mm-hmm. an openness of like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're a sick, talented artist and you're from Whitstable, like, you should have the same Whitstable. Opportunity as a sick, talented artist that's from, like, West, East, South London.
So Birmingham. Funny you say that. A lot of people I've been interviewing recently have noted that.
Yeah.
About artists not being recognised because they're maybe not from London or...
I mean, I'm not from London. I'm from Margate. Yeah. I feel like I'm the first of my kind, and I literally had to use that to my advantage. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, you wrote a story. You wrote a story about Margate, and you're teaching people about Margate, a place that maybe people haven't even heard of or haven't been to. I mean, I've been to it a few times, but maybe people haven't been down there. Maybe haven't checked it out.
Yeah, but that's a great question, and it is important. I do think like all these channels, they do such a good job, mm-hmm. but expansion, show the world. Now you've got all these eyes on you. Show the world what is out there, because I'm telling you, you got to put yourself in the position of a person that is in Whitstable and has been writing for 5 years and is hungry and no one's ever heard his music. Imagine the sort of stuff they're creating.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, you couldn't comprehend it.
I've got a really difficult question for you now. Dreamland, out tomorrow. What is your favourite track on the album? Yeah, told you it was difficult. At least I precursed it.
When I listen to the album, I look at it as like a one long track.
Yeah.
I can't think of it as one thing, but I always say the most recent track I made, because every track I try and make, I try and outdo the last.
And they've been made over a few years, right? The tracks.
There's some tracks that have been held back from 2003.
Does it feel good to finally be getting those ones out as well as the ones you've just dropped?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Like,
and I'm glad I held them back for so long.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to wait for the right time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just also knew that these were like, these are moments that you couldn't ever get back. And if I was just to put them out at the point I was at then, there would be no audience to sort of listen to it. And I knew there were certain songs that were special. I was putting music out then, but there were ones that I'd written that I knew just couldn't go out
you
now.
You got to hold that back.
Yeah, and we'd always had the concept of Dreamland. So it was like, without even knowing, subconsciously, we'd built an album over this period of time and created a concept without knowing.
Yeah. Which is perfect.
It does work quite well, yeah.
Perfectly, you know?
Yeah, because when you got the pressure on you of having to create an album, you got to think, all right, what's the idea? What's the concept? Am I just going to make a bunch of tracks? It could be mad for an artist, really, because you think these are the things that are difficult to take in. Because, you know, this is a job, but it's a fun job. I'm not on a building site digging every day. I don't want to do that no more. But these are the parts of it, the pressure of like, hang on a minute, I've got to write an album, the world's going to receive it, how are they going to see it? They've got pressure, they've got a date, they've got a time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, am I just making music willy-nilly for no reason? And I do think that's something that eats away at artists, because really and truly, I feel like there's a burning desire in all of us to have to do something more, because I don't know, there's a feeling of disconnect in everyone I meet.
Yeah.
No matter how they try and disguise it, but...
And in a way, you're sort of reconnecting it by this album, is reconnecting it, you know?
I'm sort of trying to relight the flame, ignite the fire.
And for fans who are listening and watching, what would you tell them they can expect from Dreamland?
Honesty, and 100% honesty, and the reality of my situation, and hopefully a little bit of their story in my story.
Yeah.
Because every struggle is different, but the feeling in it is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is pain. Fear is fear. Love is love. Every part of that story, every emotion in it, you'll be able to relate to as I tell it. When you listen to it, approach it with an open mind and think, hey, when I'm tap dancing and I couldn't get in the studio and I had to climb through the window that night and fall onto the bloody hard floor and I hit my head on the crossbar that they have... And I had to get up and then do a little tap dance till 8 a.m. and the owners come and found me and kicked me out. It's like, that's just like that story of 2005 when I broke into the studio.
Yeah.
Think like that.
If you are that tap dancer, do tweet us in at Fubar Radio. We want to hear your story.
And I'm going to leave you here. Fubar, absolutely love Harriet. Love
yes,
you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Wicked.
You. Thank you for having
Woo.
Me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Intellectuals unite. Everybody's talking, but only on that.
Because I'm under all this scrutiny. What if I was you and you was me? Tell me what you would do without no food or heat. And tell me what you would do without no room to sleep in. Would you turn to usage and soothe the feeling? Or turn to looting and lose your freedom? In every interview they ask me who I believe in. I can't keep explaining, it's losing meaning. To tell the truth if it is the truth you're seeking. I never knew my bruise like a fruit deceived. Just confused on my back looking through the ceiling. Never really prayed and it ain't a secret. When I do I have no clue as to who may receive it. Probably think I would just look into my facial features. But trying to find myself, take a good look at what your eyes see. Create an idea of who you might be.
streets 19. Me and my team thinking maybe heaven isn't what it might seem like.
Tell the truth. You give us the picture.